Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and how we start our day is how we live our day. We're going to start it this morning with John Legend. Good morning, love. Yes, it's my favorite love song. Good morning, family. You're tuned in to The Love Journey. Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning,
love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long. Before you get into the shower, before you worry about your hair, baby, give me one more hour. I want you to stay right there. I don't want to lose a moment. I don't want to miss a kiss. If I could plan the perfect day, love, then I would start it just like this. Good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite love song. I've waited all night long for morning. Good morning, love. Before we start the day, dear, I'm whispering in your ear. Good morning. Baby, how can I convince you? I'll make it so you can't resist. Whatever else you have to do now, it can't be half as good as this. I'll chase you underneath the sheets, love, and I won't let you get away. Today won't be complete, love, unless we get a chance to say good morning. Good morning, love. It's my favorite song. I've waited all night long for morning. Good morning, love. Before we start the day, dear, I'm whispering in your ear. Good morning. Open your eyes. Sunrise,
through your skin. It's so warm inside. Baby, it's so sweet when you're next to me. Someday I'll remind so each morning will be. Good morning. Together, I wish my forever. Let's get lost together. I wish my forever. Hey, yeah, was morning.
Good morning. Good morning, love. Good morning, love. Welcome to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram. And I am your daily lover, and that was John Legend. Good morning, love. Good morning. I love, 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 absolutely love that song. And it's so amazing to look into the eyes of this little amazing grandbaby of mine. And I'm just sitting here going, good morning, God. Good morning, love. Wow. How blessed can one person be? Let's get ready and turn within as I invite you to move into the presence of that we call God on this line. And as we move into that presence, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that great spirit that is known by many, many, many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere presence, recognizing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we move from our head into our heart space, opening our heart and saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And as we become intentional about the breath, recognizing that there is power in the breath, family. There is power in the breath. And sometimes we forget to breathe. Gather, family. Let's take in a deep breath, breathing in through our nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight, releasing the breath. As we enter into the presence, let's be still. Be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Let's breathe again. Be still. And know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Let's breathe. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And as we enter into the energy of forgiveness, honoring the gift and the present called ourselves this morning, as we honor our bodies, becoming very present in the body this morning and just totally forgiving ourselves for not always honoring these beautiful temples that we've been given to navigate this planet. Let's just honor and forgive ourselves for not honoring our heartbeat, our kidneys, and every living system in our being this morning.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Yeah.
Marvin Sapp, the keeper of my soul. Ooh, perfect peace, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, love. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Marvin Sapp this morning. How we start our day is how we live our day, family. Yes, yes. And we're going to start this morning. We're reading from the Science of the Mind. And as we go into the quietness for a minute, just to honor, today is September 11th. It's been 17 years, family, since 9/11 happened. And as we send love into the families of those 3,000 people or more who were killed that day, those who were hurt. And as we send gratitude into the first responders and those who supported the process this morning, we just recognize that our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. And sometimes we don't know why things are doing what it do, but we know no matter what, God is always on the throne. And so as we send love into that experience, and those who might still be grieving and feeling the pain, we send lots of love in your Holy Spirit
asking you to comfort those right now, God. Bring peace where there's no peace, God. Even after 17 whole years. And today's science of the mind honors 911 by saying, yes, it hurts. Joel Goldsmith once said, in the realm of the real, the kingdom of God, the discourse of sense have no existence that, however, it does not change the fact that we suffer from it. On page 281 in a book called Living the Science of Mind by Dr. Ernest Holmes, he said, we do not deny that man experiences discord or disease. What we affirm is that the experience is the belief in form and that the disintegration of the belief will produce corresponding disintegration of the form. You see, today is the 17th anniversary of the horrific terrorist attack. And today, yeah, today is the 11th. Against the United States that destroyed the World Trade Center, damaged the Pentagon, and caused the crash of the United States Airlines Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. Almost 3,000 people were killed that day. Yes, it still hurts. And we still mourn at the same time. We believe in the eternal and immortality of the individual soul. We believe, as Dr. Ernest Holmes wrote, that the ultimate goal of life to be a complete emancipation from all discord of every nation, and that this is the goal is sure to be obtained by all. And as Joel Goldsmith points out, our beliefs do not change the fact that we suffer from the experiences of our human existence. We should mourn our dead, feel horror at violence. We should seek justice, commemorate the bravery of first responders, honor the sacrifices of the many people who pull together in countless small ways to comfort and support each other. As metaphysicians, however, we do not stop there. We set our eyes and hearts to looking beyond what happened to what can come from this. What good, like the phoenix, will rise from the ashes? For there's always something good that can be gleaned, whether or not we can see it. In the moment, there's always love. Always showing up in ways big and small. We saw it for days, weeks, and months after 9/11. And surely we can keep that movement going even after 17 years. And so as for me, I intend to feel the pain, honor the courage, seek the path to forgiveness the best I can, and always, always, always return to love. I remember those who died, those who saved others, and those who were so misguided on this day 17 years ago. I hold them all in my heart and remember that I am one with them all in the one. I am one with them all in the one. And so today, we honor pain as we seek the path to forgiveness and remember to return to love. We are one with them all in the oneness. That's the reading of the science of the mind today. To be reminded that we are one with the oneness. We honor those who experience the pain on this day. We send love. And we also send those who had the courage to respond in ways that we cannot even imagine, unconsciously. And so as we honor the grief, after 17 years, we still honor those who will be grieving this process. On this 9/11,
I want to remind you to return to the love.
I know you in love.
I'm in love with you, in love with you. Good morning, family. Welcome to another love experience, love journey experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Erica Badu and Stephen Marley. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. Good morning, family. Yes, this is the love journey, and today we're going to just go ahead, you know, because this baby is trying to get my attention. She's like, look, I want all of your attention. Can you believe I'm babysitting a whole week by myself in this whole house? I was thinking, wow. Diamond and Tim are on their anniversary trip, and I got the baby. Good morning, family. We're going to talk about take the limits off God. We're going to hear Steve Harvey on taking the limits off God. With only, I didn't count the days. I think we got about 100 days left, maybe 102 days left in this year. I usually count them and keep up with it. I want us to really think about how we can take the limits and really move and soar into that place of blessing where we're really honoring our life in abundance in every area, in our love life. Can you imagine having the perfect, not perfect love like somebody else thinks, but perfect for you? Reminds me of Grace Jones' song. He may not be perfect, but he's perfect for me. She may not be perfect, but she's perfect for you. What would that look like? What it would look like if you were magnetizing and experiencing more than enough in your financial world, where you weren't just being financially free, but financially significant. What would it look like if you were creating a life where your children's grandchildren will remember your name? And today I just want you to take the limits off God. What have you been imagining for your life? And remember, imagination is the preview of God's coming attraction for your life. What's in the movie preview of your life? Have you even taken time to vision out? You know, they used to tell us, stop daydreaming, stop dreadreaming. It's one of the most powerful things we could do on the planet. And we become adults and we get so caught up in our lives and we forget to daydream. We forget to dream. But more importantly, we forget to believe in our dream. Steve Harvey said something that I thought was really, really powerful. He said to me, you couldn't think an impossible thought. I want you to think about that. There's not a thought you can think that's impossible. Nothing that you can ever think is impossible. So as we listen to this, I want you to get your journal. Make sure you take good copious notes. It's not long. But he says some really, really powerful things. And I just want us to think about grace and favor. How grace and favor has kept us. Because grace is not something that just happens. Grace is something that is bestowed upon us just because you are, not because of something that you did, not because of something you have to do. Grace is just yours just because you are. Take the limits off God today and hear this. Take your copious notes. But don't just hear it and not be a doer. The one thing that I love about Lisa Nichols, when we heard her talk the other day, the one thing that she said is she went to that workshop 42 times. It was like 42 times. Sometimes, you know, the redundancy of something is each time we hear it, we get to hear what we didn't hear before. And then as we grow in our own experiences, we begin to perceive things differently, even though we may have heard it before. So take the limits off God this morning. Here, this is Steve Harvey.
If you could get a couple of things from me, if you could gather this piece of information. Albert Einstein said once, he said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Now, I want you to get this now. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Because if you think about it, everything you have, everything we have in this world, somebody imagined it. It's your imagination is tremendous. Somebody was sitting on the phone one day talking with a cord to the wall and said, man, I wish I could just go outside with this phone. Everybody in here got a cell phone. Somebody imagined that. Somebody got tired of riding in a wagon cross country from slavery to freedom. Somebody said, I wish we had something that made these wheels move by themselves. We drive cars. People got tired of driving from New York to LA. Somebody said, I wish we could fly. We got airplanes. Imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attractions. Your real life, the one God really got for you, is in your imagination. It is not in your current situation or your current paycheck. And if you've been living like that, you have then restricted yourself to a commonality that is really not yours. Because what really God got for you is really in your imagination. There is a scripture that Albert Einstein took this quote from. It's like the book The Secret. The Secret is one of the top-selling motivational books ever. But if you read the book The Secret, it's all biblical. Everything comes from the Bible. You really don't need self-help books. You don't need The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich, The Winner's Circle. I've read them all. All of that information is in Proverbs, all of it. But let me give you this scripture. You've all heard this, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when I told you a minute ago, you got to have a tremendous work ethic, but you got to have a lot of faith. I talk to so many people who get older, like some of us are, and they've lost the faith. Well, faith is really simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. All that means is in the beginning, you just hope something pop off. You know, you just kind of hope something happened for you. I was hoping I would get on TV. I wrote it on a piece of paper when I was 10. I want to be on TV. The problem I had when I wrote it at 10 was I suffered from a severe stuttering problem. I could not talk outside of my house. So can you imagine when I wrote on a piece of paper, I want to be on TV and turn that in? But when I wrote it on the paper, it wasn't factual. I was just hoping. You just got to start with the hope. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. You just hope something jumped. Then what happened is through grace and favor, he give you a couple of them things you hope for, and then you're supposed to start believing then. Because now it turns into faith. But if you take this scripture, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is the evidence of things not seen? I just told it to you. Albert Einstein said, imagination is everything. It's the preview to life's coming attraction. But guess what? Your imagination really is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Because your imagination, you know why it's the evidence of things not seen? Because you're the only one who can see it. Your imagination is actually God showing you a preview of a coming attraction that he has for you. The moment you don't believe in your imagination, you negate what he got for you. Your imagination is the preview to life's coming attraction. It is the evidence of things not seen, because can't nobody see it with you. Your problem is you keep telling your imagination to the wrong people. See, if you want to kill a big dream, tell it to a small-minded person. It's dead. How many times, man, have you had a tremendous idea? Something you thought was the one, and you went and told it to your loved ones and your so-called friends, and they shot it down. I mean, you was convinced that it was just, oh, man, I just came to you. And you told it to them and they shot it down. And you thought since they was your loved ones and their friends and they got your best interest at heart, you believed them. You was wrong. You let them talk you out of what God got for you. Some of y'all still sitting here with the ambition of opening a business one day, but you scared to go start the business because you got a job and you got bills. Rich people got bills. Everybody got bills. Hell, I got bills. Everybody owes somebody something. I got something with the bank right now. You're going to let the fact that you got some bills stop you from opening the business, the thing that God done put in your imagination? So you're going to squash that because you got bills. Everybody got bills. Your real life is in your imagination. What I'm sharing with you is stuff that everybody can apply today. If you are sitting in here thinking that you're too old to listen to what Steve, hell, I'm 60. I'm 60 years old. I know. I know. You can't believe it. I know. He's so fly. I know. But I'm 60. But I still rely on my imagination. See, if you think you're too old to make it, let me give you a prime example. Colonel Sanders has been frying chicken his whole life. He was telling everybody he had the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believe him. They turned him down everywhere. Colonel Sanders didn't get a franchise till he was in his 60s. Kentucky Fried Chicken sell more chicken than anybody in the world today. So if you're sitting here thinking because you got a little gray on you, you're too late. As long as God waking you up in the morning, that's the sign that he ain't through with you. So what you tripping for? You sitting up in here like God can't do nothing for you because you're 60. Man, you know what I'm asking God for right now? And I'm 60. If you could see my vision board, you would be blown away. Because I got enough right now. I really know, but I ain't in the need business. I'm in the want business. Ain't nothing wrong with wanting something. Quit going down to these churches y'all sitting up in here going down to, keeping you in these little boxes. God got a big life for you. The only person ain't getting, look, and I love church. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking church. Don't tweet that. Steve don't care for the church no more. I didn't say that. But don't go down there. Memorize all these scriptures and then don't apply none of them to your life. That's what I'm talking about. Quit going down there just to go and just get a couple of scriptures and apply them to you. Let me give you one that's real simple. See, these principles of success, they've taken all of these scriptures and they're putting them in books and they call them, you know, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. But all these, everything in there is a scripture. They just reworded it because people don't know how to read the Bible. Like, I can't really read the King James Version. I can't. 4 verses of that, I go to sleep. Because hence, furthermore, whatsoever, whosoever, who is you talking about? I need a name, dog. Not whomsoever. Because I'm throwed off. I didn't do good with reading and comprehension in school. The smallest scripture I ever read changed my life. The scripture is real simple. You have not because you ask not. Do you know the difference that that could make in your life? I'm just giving you real talk now. I'm just trying to tell you how I got here. See, I have no education. I applaud all of you with your education. I've seen them talking to so many men who have in corporate America and all that. I'm in awe of that because I don't have that. But you sit here and you take what you have, and it could be so much more if you would ask. See, you have not because you ask not. When the last time you really asked him for something? Or do you keep making requests that's inside the confines of your paycheck? When you going to get outside of that? Didn't I just tell you God ain't in your paycheck? Didn't I just tell you he ain't in your job title? The life God got for you is in your imagination. Why you still imagining stuff? Why you keep dreaming of a summer home? Why you keep dreaming of retirement, leaving your grandkids money? Something at the age now where I think about my grandkids. I got 7 TV shows. Dog, I only need one. One show pay me enough money. I need 4 for my wife. 4 of them is for Marjorie. The other 3 is for the grandkids. I just need one. I do not live my life in the confines of what anybody says to me. I let my imagination go, and now imagination is a preview to life's coming attraction. But what that really means is God showing you a preview of what he has for you. So now, if you have not because you ask not, do you understand if you up your ask, he has to up his give? This period. This is simple stuff that anybody can apply. You ain't even got to have no degree to do this. You don't even have to have no money to do this. You can start this today and change your whole game, because you're going to need grace and favor anyway. You need the dream, the faith, and then he put his grace and favor on top of it. You gone. But you got to ask for something. If you up your ask, he got to up his give. Period. You have not because you ask not. Quit asking God for little bitty stuff. Lord Jesus, help me make my rent. Don't he always? All y'all got somewhere to stay. How about this? Why you keep asking for rent? Why don't you ask for a mortgage? If he gonna give you the money for a place to stay, what difference do it make to God? But if you keep saying rent, ain't he fair? He keep giving you rent. If you ask for a mortgage, he'll give you a mortgage. But you have not because you ask not. Lord Jesus, help me fix my car so I can make it to work. Why do you keep praying over that raggedy car? Why don't you ask God for a car that don't need fixing? You know, they roll them off the assembly line every day. How you can't get a new car? How you serve God? How you go to church and you can't get a car? Just a new car. How you can't get that from God? You know why? Because you ain't asking him. You keep asking him for stuff that fit in your paycheck. Your paycheck say a 2015 Lexus, so you go down there and ask him for that. And guess what you get? A 2015 Lexus. You up your ask, he up his give. You have not because you ask not. This ain't a magic trick, man. Listen, I have asked God for some tremendous stuff. Everything he hasn't given to me is on the way. I have no doubt about it. Why would he not? See, can I tell you what really prompted this thinking in me? When I was homeless, I lived in a car for 3 years. I made some decisions in my life, man, and threw myself off a cliff. My decision in October 8th, 1985, I walked into a comedy club for the first time on a dare from a girl. Jesus. I walked into a comedy club for the first time. Had never heard of a comedy club. But all my life, I wanted to be on TV. had never heard of a comedy club. October the 8th, I walked into Hilarity's Comedy Club in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. That's right outside Akron. I signed up for the following week because I just wanted to see what the comedians did. Man, I saw live stand-up for the first time. They had 10 acts supposed to go up. 9 of them went up. The 10th guy got scared and ran out the door. So I had signed up for the following week. The guy says, listen, we lost our 10th act. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the week from next week. If Steve Harvey's here, come on up now. And the crowd started clapping. I was eating a chicken wing and drinking some grapefruit juice, and I turned to the girl, and I said, it's a dude in here got the same name I got. She said, you're the stupidest bastard I know. So I ran up on stage. I don't even know what to do, but I just started talking about boxing and stuff that happened to me. Audience was hollering, laughing. They brought all 10 of us back up on stage. They had a clap-off. I won the clap-off. I won $50. I cried from Cuyahoga Falls to Cleveland. The girl kept saying, why are you crying? It ain't but $50. I said, no, you don't understand. This way more than $50. This what I do. She said, what you mean this what you do? This just your first time. You don't understand. Something happened to me. I won amateur night. I went to work the next day, October 9th, 1985, and quit my job. Now, you've all seen this book I got out in this video called Jump. Oh, I jumped. Now, I don't recommend that you do it that way, because 2 years later, I was homeless. Because the first year of comedy, I made $3,400. The next year, I made $4,800. And the third year, I made $5,300. I got a wife, a set of twins. I'm sending every dollar I got to them. So I tried to live on $50-$75 a week. Gas was 38 cents a gallon back then. I just stayed in my car. So I lived in my car for 3 years. 3 years. I lived in my car. And what happened was, I just said, man, so I used to fish all the time to eat, because I'm a fisherman, I'm a bass fisherman. So I used to stop at lakes and ponds and just fish. And every month I get run off from somebody's land. Hey, get away from here. Hey, move along, that's not yours. Hey, stop fishing here. I just get run off. And he didn't understand. And one time I had fish on the line. They said, you got fish on that line? I said, yeah. Throw them back. I had to throw them back because I used to stop at rest areas with them little cast iron grills. I kept charcoal in my car. I started a fire and I ate fish. There's some days I wouldn't eat. So that they thought I was just fishing, but I was eating. So I said one day, I said, man, you know what? One day, man, I'm gonna give myself some land. I'm buy myself a piece of dirt. So fast forward, God bless me. I get on TV when I'm 38. I'm on Showtime at the Apollo. Lord, have mercy. They gave me my money. I saved my money up. I saved $250,000. I said, I'm going to give me some land. I went to Texas, and I'm about to buy some land. But before I went to buy the land, I was curious. I just had the thought. I said, man, I wonder, how much land is on earth? How many acres is on earth? Because, you know, it's not going to change. You know, God lets you fly. God lets you dive underwater. God don't let you make dirt. Can't make dirt. So I looked it up. It's roughly over, just a little bit over, 36 billion acres of land. 36 billion acres of land. So I just got a little bit more curious. And I said, well, how many people on earth? I looked it up, and there's about 6 billion people on earth. So I did some Steve Harvey thinking. I said, okay, if it's 36 billion acres of land, and it's about 6 billion people on earth, everybody ought to have 6 acres of land. Not just me. You know, just thinking. So I asked God, could I have 6 acres? That's all I wanted. Because you know the one thing I wanted? I didn't care if I put a house on it or nothing. I just wanted to be a stand somewhere and couldn't nobody run me off. I just want it. You know, man, I was in a world of hurt. I was so sick of just getting run off, man, every time I stopped somewhere. So I got this money, man. I saved my money. I saved $250,000. I'm going and I'm looking for some land. The first day I get there, I see a piece of land in Texas, so beautiful, I couldn't believe it. It had rolling hills, had a pond on it where I could fish. The dude took me over there. I look at the land, and I'm looking. I said, man, this is great right here. I said, sir, how much is this right here? He said, well, it's about $600,000. I said, man, I ain't got that kind of money. He said, well, how much do you have? I said, I got $250,000. I said, well, let me think about it, man. He said, let me think about it. And I was standing there, and then I stopped. I said, sir, can I ask you a question, man? How many acres of land is that? He said, this is 6 acres. Six. 6 years ago, I just asked God, just give me six. See, I didn't want a whole lot of acres. I just wanted my cut. Just give me my six. And so I said, ain't this crazy? So I thought about it. I said, man, what can we work out? Right before I got ready to say it, the guy that took me over there said, Steve, let me show you something right quick. He took me over to this hillbilly's house. Took me over to this hillbilly house named Jerry Campbell. Now, I don't really care for hillbillies because, you know, we don't. I just, you know, when your voice, I believe and I don't laugh. When I hear that, me and you probably ain't going to work out. I'm from Cleveland. I do things. I don't want no trouble. I met this hillbilly. I was a little nervous about meeting him, man, because I didn't like the way he talked. But mess around turned out to be one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Became a father figure to me. It's an old white man. He took me to his house. He said, let me show you something. It took me over and showed me this land, and it was massive. It had 3 lakes on it. It had rolling hills. It had trees. It was unbelievable, man. I said, man, this is incredible. I said, man, how much is this? He said, this 16 acres. I said, hey, man, I ain't got that kind of money. Let me go on back over here to this dude where Mike can cut a deal. He said, well, let me ask you something. What was you going to give that man over there? I said, well, I hadn't worked it out yet because all I got is $250,000. He said, well, listen, I'm in a little bit of a tight right now. Said, if you can bring me $250,000 cash by tomorrow, I'll give you this 16 acres. I showed up next day, $250,000. 16 acres. See, that's grace and favor right there. That's what that is. So my first piece of land was 250 acres. So I said, man, this is the land that I'm going to save for my family. I'm going to fish on the rest of my life. I'm going to be an old man. Now, let me tell you something. I'm so busy now, I don't even get to go to that ranch. I never can go. And I thought I was going to be fishing and save it for my kids the rest of life. But God had another plan for me. That's the ranch that I have my mentoring camp on. I bring 1,000 black boys out there with 1,000 single mothers. And that was the purpose of that ranch. I never go there to fish at all. But see, that's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was for. But God got another plan. His way is way bigger than yours. You can't even see his way. But you got to start to hustle. You got to give God something to work with. Look, if you start hustling and grinding, he'll fill it up for you. But if you ain't got no hustle and no grind, he can't fill it up. So guess what? I don't ever go there to use that land for fishing or not. But I'm changing boys' lives over there. It's been important for me to empower my children, but not only my children, but thousands of young people across the country. And education is the key for a lot of people. But when I speak at colleges and stuff, I tell people, number one thing in your world is not your education. It's your dream. So what you dreaming about, y'all? What you still dreaming about? What is God still showing you in your imagination? What are you so afraid of? Why would you not take that leap and go for it before you mess around and die? Why would you not go and see what God really got for you before you leave this world? Why would you hang on to a job? Here's what happens with the job. If you live in paycheck to paycheck right now, when you retire, they're going to give you 1/3 of what you can't live on now. They're going to give you a gold watch and a turkey, and they're going to set you on out to pasture. If I was you, before I leave this world, I'd go see what God really got for me. Just take a chance. Now, here's why you should take the chance. Name me one time God has not pulled you through. Just name it. Name the one thing God has never pulled you through. If he ain't pulled you through it, he's currently pulling you through it right now. And the reason I know I'm telling the truth is because you're sitting in here. If God was through with you, he wouldn't wake you up no more. When he wakes you up, it's because he ain't through with you yet. He got something else for you. So why don't you go see what that is?
Wow. Ooh, I'm still on fire. All right. Good morning, family. Good morning. Was that some good stuff? Grace and favor. Oh, my God. And we asking small. We got to up our ass. And we up our ass. Got to up his give, right? I love that. If you up your ass, got to up his give. And that the imagination is the preview of life's coming attraction. It's what God got for us. Woo! I don't care. I'm on fire, y'all. I'm on fire. All right. We're going to get ready and get out of here. I want to, let's see if anybody got any comments. If anybody want to open up the line, *6 on blog. On the teleconference line. And press 1 if you are on blog.
Hi, Janine. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, beautiful. Good morning, love.
Oh, boy, was that powerful. I'm out in the park walking around the track, and, oh, that was beautiful. That was right on time. I'm glad you played that again. Could you play that again and again?
Yep. Today's one was called Take the Limits Off God, and today was his, he was speaking at the university. I don't know, I just felt like, you know, with the year coming to an end, a few more months left, I want us to really think about our ass, think about what we're doing and to take the limits off God and really live the abundant life we came to the life to live, right, Emma?
Yeah, I'm telling you. That is so true, because people, we do that. We only ask for what we have in our pockets or what our rent is. We don't ask for higher things. You know,
than enough.
That is so true. We have to raise. I have to raise my consciousness higher. This is deep, so beautiful, so deep, so wonderful to hear this morning, Janine. Thank you.
I love what you said. You got to raise your consciousness higher. I love that. Because the one thing that he said, we go to the dealership with the idea of how much is in our paycheck. Do we put even God on our budget item line? You know, when you write out your budget and all that stuff, do you put a line item for God to make room for God? To make room for God, right? You got to make room for God. Okay, y'all, the baby's in my arms, so y'all know. I might sound like I'm talking to the baby, but I am. Yes, you got to make room for God this morning, and you got to take the limits off God. So that's what I really want us to think about as we move through. Thank you so much, Hasina. I love you, honey. All right. Anybody else? Any? Press 1 on Blog Talk and star 6 if you're on teleconference. All right. Family, I want you to think about this. As we move out of this space today, T.D. Jake said this best. We got to stop wasting our time. So as you remember this, I want you to remember this, that your life truly is a gift from God. And what we do with our life is a gift back to God. And that we got to choose love. Love is a choice. And we don't have to just dream, but we can live our God-sized dreams. But we got to up our ask. Remember yesterday, Steve Harvey said, don't just ask for enough. Ask to be great. Ask to live an extraordinary life. Listen to T.D. Jakes when he says, don't waste our time.
What are you going to do with the time you have left? What are you going to do with the time you have left? I say that if you don't reposition yourself, you could miss the best time in your life. If you don't know what time it is, time will get away from you. And you won't know where it went. The worst thing in life is not money getting away from you. It's not people getting away from you. It's time. Where did it go? I am my parents' age. My mother was sitting up talking with her sisters several years ago. And they were sitting up and they were drinking some coffee. And they said, girl, where are all the old people? Said, where's Miss Susie and Miss Helen and Miss Reggie Mae and all the old people? And I was sitting over there thinking, y'all are the old people now. And before I could get through thinking it, they were gone. And my hair was white. And my afro was gone. What are you going to do with the time you have left?
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity. See light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt. They forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight. They persevere. They go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.